This is Cavs head coach J.B. Bickerstaff, and you're listening to the Kenny and JT Show on News Talk 1480 WHBC.
All right, let's see what J.B. Bickerstaff has in store tonight, right? What moves will J.B. Bickerstaff make tonight to try and give the Cavaliers a chance maybe in Game 2 at TD Gardens in Boston to get back in this series, and to get some thoughts on that and preview game number 2, which you'll hear right here on WHBC at 7 o'clock. Let's check in with Sam Amico from HoopsWire.com. How are you, Sam?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, we're all right, Sam. We're curious. Do you think there's anything JB can do to make the Cavs more competitive, or is it just the players have to play better?
It's probably a little of both. It's definitely a lot of number two. The guys have to play better. I mean, you have to get more out of Darius Garland and Max Strus and Caris LeVert. I mean, these are the same guys who, other than LeVert in Game 7, weren't getting it done against Orlando, and they didn't show up very well against Boston the other night. And Evan Mobley's in that group, too. Obviously 17 points, but a lot of those came when the game was out of reach and everything was decided. When, you know, you needed them in the first half, Mobley was nowhere to be found. So that's not just on Mobley. That's also on Bickerstaff and the coaching staff. So, you know, all the way around, they need to be better. It starts with the players, but the coaches also have to make, you know, he has to make some adjustments when things aren't clicking and figure out what works.
Sam, if we believe in defensive ratings, Orlando is ranked pretty high, but Boston's ranked even higher. We look at Boston and think, man, they're a great scoring team, but they're even better defensively maybe at times. If that's the case, how can the Cavaliers create any offense if they're not able to shoot the three?
Yeah, right. That they're not going to be able to. You know, the option is to get out on the break, and to do that, you've got to keep them from scoring so that you're not pulling the ball out underneath the basket and inbounding it that way. You've got to step it up defensively if you're the Cavs, and that's easier said than done. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, Boston was 64-18, best record in the NBA. They're at home. Teams tend to shoot better at home. So, you know, you have to hope that they're going to miss a little bit, and then you've got to get out on the break and get going. And, you know, the one thing that you can do is you've got to have somebody besides Donovan Mitchell getting it going. Mm-hmm. You know, and they've done that, the Cavs, at times for a quarter. You know, Max Strus, Game 7, gets it going in the third quarter. That was it. That was it for the game. Darius Garland had a, you know, 8-minute stretch there in Game 7, Game 6. And it can't just be, hey, look, I made a couple buckets. It's, I've played well the entire game. I've made some shots. You know, Max Strus, they brought you here to make those shots, right? So, I mean, right. You got to knock them down. And I just think that, number one, if you're talking offense, guys, they got to get out and get moving and get running before Boston has a chance to set up. And guys have to knock down shots, which they haven't done the entire playoffs.
Sam, at times it seems as though, and we listened to a little bit, he was mic'd up anyway, J.B. Bickerstaff shouting out orders, guard the defensive three-point line, and let's move the ball and not walk it up the court. Is this a matter of not having the personnel to run an offense that he told us in preseason they wanted to run, and it seems as though it's more isolation and more a half-court offense, and the Cavaliers just can't get the job done because we're undermanned?
That's without question. I mean, they are the, you know, big underdogs going into this series because of that. They just don't, you know, they don't have the playoff experience. But in order to make it a competitive series, you have to get what you were expecting out of players. You know, mm-hmm. at least, say, 80% of them, you have to get what you were expecting out of Max Strus, mm-hmm. which isn't 20 points a game. It's 3 or 4 3-point shots, and you know, look, he's playing super hard, but that's not why they brought him here. They want him to play super hard, and they knew he did, but they want him to knock down outside shots. And, guys, do you remember at the beginning of the year when J.B. Bickerstaff and Kobe Altman were telling us, you know, don't call Max Strus a 3-point shooter. He does a lot more offensively. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. He's not even knocking them down the 3-point shots. So, you know, I'm not putting this all on Struce. Caris LeVert's had a terrible playoffs with the exception of Game 7. And there's been a few other scenarios and situations, players who just haven't delivered. Obviously, Mobley has been fantastic defensively. You're not getting anything out of him offensively. You know, I don't care what the numbers say. If they're not winning numbers, then they don't mean anything. So, you know, offensively, he's not delivered there. George Niang played all 82 regular season games. He's been so bad in the playoffs that they can't even play him. And instead are playing a guy they got off the street, Marcus Morris, like, you know, 3 weeks into the season. So it's a lot of issues there.
I call him George Niet now, not George Niang, because we don't want to see him. No, thank you.
Right.
Sam, Evan Mobley, all right? We just had Daryl Ryder on with us, right? And you go on, I hear you all the time with Baskin and Phelps, right? You're on their show talking Cavs and everything. And they had Brad Daugherty on today. And Brad supposedly was saying that Mobley's dealing with a bad ankle and it's affecting his play. Now, that may just, well, you know, Sam, you know, he's a young kid and he's got a bad ankle, whatnot, no, and he's going to be fine. It may just be Brad trying to stick up for him, you know, for the organization. Come on. Before the bad ankle, he wasn't doing much offensively, was he?
No, he wasn't doing nearly enough. I haven't seen progression in him offensively. Defensively, he's outstanding. Offensively, I haven't seen any progression since his rookie. Let me say it this way, and I'm not blaming Donovan Mitchell, but Mobley has not been the same offensively since Donovan Mitchell came on. Now, I don't know that that's Donovan Mitchell's fault. I don't think it is. And I don't know that it's entirely Evan Mobley's fault. It's how are we creating opportunities for Evan Mobley? When he does get the ball, he needs to be aggressive. He needs to put it in the hoop. You know, I mean, he hasn't done that real well. He gets the ball in the low post and he kicks it out, or he just doesn't seem to have confidence down there in his game unless it's a dunk, unless it's a, you know, somebody throws him a lob or he just does a couple of pump fakes and gets a dunk. The ceiling for him is so high offensively, but we just haven't seen that progression as you had hoped. Yes, he's super young. Yes, his numbers are up. Yes, his three-point field goal percentage is up. But guess what? The Cleveland Cavaliers aren't a better basketball team because of any of that, and they won't be until I think he becomes a dominant force offensively.
Sam, as fans, are we just being so impatient? Because when you look back, Jaylen Brown's drafted in 2016 and Jason Tatum's 2017. They haven't won anything since those guys have been drafted. But now it seems as though that might be the team to beat in all of the NBA. Should we pump the brakes and be a little bit more patient? Or should we really expect more from these young players?
I think there's a little of both. You know, look, fan is short for fanatical. So, yeah, it makes sense that people get impatient, you know. And, I mean, on one hand, the reality is, guys, their goal, and I don't want to say this was their main goal, but their goal was let's at least get to the second round because that's the next step from last season. And they didn't look good in the first round. They kind of slid into the second round almost by mistake. But guess what? That's where they are. And they're playing the team with the best record in the NBA.
My fear is this.
I think you would like to see them be more competitive, right? And put up more of a fight, especially in these road games. And you would like to see, look, if they went down, if they're going to go down in this series, you want to see them go down with some fight. You want to see them go down playing what J.B. Bickerstaff calls Cavaliers basketball. Yeah. Which is what we saw in January. The ball was moving. They were really defending. And I think their defense is okay now. But their offense, it's just – and I saw JB the other night at halftime, you know, was interviewed and said, oh, our offense isn't the problem. No, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Because you're not making Boston work at all defensively.
And you go 4 minutes without scoring a bucket or even a foul shot, and they went through a couple of stretches where they had long scoring droughts like that, you're not going to get much done. Hoopswire.com is where you can check out Sam Amico. And Sam, my biggest fear with this team, and I told Kenny this when we signed on at 3 o'clock, is that we end up becoming the Atlanta Hawks. And you're powered by good guard play, but at the end of the day, you had your chance. You got to an Eastern Conference Finals, and then you went in the tank for the remainder. I mean, is our window of opportunity, even though this is the second round of the playoffs, is it starting to shrink a little bit?
Well, you look that I made that comparison the other day just on press row, JT, was are they, you know, the Atlanta Hawks who had a dynamite run a few years ago now, and went to the Eastern Conference Finals where they played the Milwaukee Bucks, who eventually went on to win the championship that year. And then, you know, look at the Hawks since. They've kind of been spinning their wheels. I think a lot of what happens with the Cavs, you know, moving forward is going to be what does Donovan Mitchell do this summer? If he signs that extension or even a short-term extension, then you're looking at a different situation, right? You're looking at, okay, now we know how to build. If he doesn't, then you've got to kind of revamp everything. And boy, that's going to come at a cost because you gave up a lot to get him. There's a theory out there, and hindsight's 2020, that they would be just as good right now and perhaps even more promising.
Oh boy.
Had they never made that trade, Lauri Markkanen and Colin Sexton, and they'd still have all their draft picks. But that's neither here nor there now. You know, right now you've got to figure it out in terms of, okay, what's Donovan Mitchell do? If he signs that extension, how do we get better? How do we get the three-point shooting that we said after last season's playoffs we really needed? And then you went on media day and said, we addressed that problem and that situation.
Yeah.
Now you haven't. You haven't done it.
Sam, we always, you know, look at this team and fair or unfair, compare it to when LeBron was here, right? Because it was the pinnacle, the ultimate, won a championship, trying to get back to that level. How far away are they from that?
Now, they're a little ways away. I think we're seeing that in these playoffs. The playoffs are where you determine and gauge where your team is, not the regular season, and what your needs are. And I think that they're a little ways away. You know, look, they were very fortunate to have a once-in-a-lifetime player in LeBron James. I mean, he's a generational guy, right? And how often do you get those? Not very often. And sometimes not even that's enough. I mean, look at the Lakers, you know, and obviously LeBron's older, but even look at the Miami Heat. They won two championships with LeBron. The Cavs won one, right? So it's tough to win a championship or even get to finals contention when you have that type of player, and they don't have that type of player. So your next best bet is to try to be a team, you know, that gets there with a star or two and plays as a team. Well, they had what they thought were two stars, bona fide stars in Mitchell and Garland, and would win as a team. Well, they haven't done that. They have one bona fide star in the playoffs repeatedly now in Donovan Mitchell. You thought you might even have three with Mobley, and you know, it's not happened. So, and all that said, they're not winning as a team either. They're getting the ball to Mitchell and getting out of the way, which he's done a masterful job, but he's also, you know, 6'1", 6'2", and it's tough to win championships in the NBA playing that way.
That's a great point, because LeBron at times could finish at the rim because he was so much bigger. We're seeing Donovan at times make some but miss some that LeBron probably would finish. Sam, this question for you. Last year, they were one of the best 16 teams in the NBA, right? They made the playoffs, lost in the first round. This year, they're one of the best 8 teams in the NBA as they're still playing. So have they made enough progress to keep J.B. Bickerstaff and this team together moving forward, or does Dan Gilbert look at this and say, yeah, we made progress, but not enough, I need to blow it up?
It's all a matter of if you view this as, is he the coach that puts us over the top, or is he just the coach that helps us get good? I don't know the answer to that. I think that's something they need to figure out, but yeah, I mean, you know, we know Dan Gilbert, and he can be reactionary, and we also know the NBA. I mean, Frank Vogel, a coach who won a championship, was just fired today after one season with the Phoenix Suns. So, history tells us that things probably are not on JB's side right now. I think a lot of it, guys, now I could be wrong. Maybe the decision's already made. Maybe they've already decided to let him go, or maybe they've decided to bring him back. But I think the fight and what they show in this series could determine, you know, which way they lean in the off season. It's how did we look? Were we overcomers? That's a big thing for them. Did we overcome, you know, these issues that we don't have to win the series, but do we overcome these issues, the lack of offense, the lack of creativity, the lack of, you know, ball movement? Did we overcome those things in that series? Were we able to adjust X and O's wise and philosophically coaching wise? If the answer is no, you're usually living on borrowed time as a coach. So I think there'll be, you know, I would be leaning that JB won't be back, but that's no inside information. That's just a gut feeling. And I think we got to see how this series ends up playing out.
Sam, if they do in fact re-sign or extend Donovan Mitchell, and that's going to end up being a max deal, and you're already spending a ton of money on is Darius Garland's a max deal right now?
Yes, it's a max deal. Yep.
Okay. So if you have two guys on a max deal, and we know what this team, we think it needs, how will they be able to do this? I mean, this might be a question for another time, but I didn't know when we might have you back on with us. And I'm not saying that the season's already over. But if you want to make this roster, thank you. If you want to make this roster better, how would you be able to, do you have to go into the luxury tax? I mean, how would they be able to go out and attract the 3-and-D guy?
Yeah, you'd have to do it with a trade somehow. You know, you'd have to match salary to find one of those guys. Your only other hope is that, you know, you have some way of signing a guy who becomes a miracle guy on a minimum contract or a small contract, you know, a veteran free agent who comes in on a smaller deal and
from Los Angeles, who's number 23?
Yeah, that number 23 coming back?
Right. Maybe, you know, one of those guys. Somebody like that would probably fit in very well. They need somebody who can, and this is not Donovan's strength, but again, he's magnificent, and he's the entire team right now, Donovan Mitchell. But his strength is not finding the open shooters, and they need a guy to kind of do that. Unfortunately, that's not Darius Garland's strength either, and he's your point guard, you know. So,
and you know why? It's not his strength, because he's afraid to pass it to anybody because they can't freaking shoot, Sam. That's why.
But in his defense, absolutely, absolutely. That's that. You know, that's part of his defense, and I think that they need, you know, Kenny, JT. We had this conversation last offseason. They need to find some perimeter shooters. They promised that they did. Well, the guys that they found did not deliver. So, you know, and they know that. They know that. They know they need to go out and get others if they can.
Sam, always great information. We appreciate it. Hey, we're going to be broadcasting live Monday from the arena from 3 to 6:30. So if you have a few minutes, find us in the media section. We'll get your thoughts on whether or not that'll be the last.
I take his seat. What are you, nuts? Sam, I'm in your seat from 3 until 6:30. Just come up a little early.
I'll just save you some trouble. I'll just lie on the table. When you guys show up there, I'll be.
All right. Sounds good. We'll see you Monday. Thanks, Sam. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Take care.